It's the kicky music that means it's time once again for Pop Culture Happy Hour. I am your thankfully temporary host, Stephen Thompson, filling in for a wounded warrior.
Linda Holmes has been laid low.
I've been trying to come up with an apt way to describe the way that Linda Holmes mangled her ankle. Just imagine a heroic dive off of a moving train onto a speeding car driven by terrorists.
Sure. Which, of course, bears no resemblance to what actually happened.
No!
Which is that Linda took a step and mangled her ankle.
But we are given to understand that she is on excellent painkillers, and we'll be back with us soon.
I should probably introduce you fine people.
Sure. You might.
All right. Hey, Glenn.
Yeah.
Could you tell the nice people who you are?
I'm Glenn Weldon. I write about books and comic books for the NPR website.
Trey Graham.
I'm Trey Graham. I'm the movies editor for NPR.org, and I'm also a person who knows that mangle can be a noun.
What is a mangle?
It's basically a laundry wringer, the thing you run your clothes through to squeeze the water
out. Is that where the word mangled comes from?
I believe it is.
The thing you run your clothes through.
For me, that's called the dryer.
The thing your grandma might use.
Oh, I see.
Might have used.
So, not Linda. Who is our emergency fill-in?
Hi, I'm Tanya Ballard Brown.
Yeah.
Hey, Tanya.
T-double-B. Woo-hoo. Hey, what do you do for NPR?
I work for digital news.
First of all, I wish to apologize to all of you for missing last week's episode. An appliance sales concern, whose name rhymes with Fleers, was extremely late in delivering my hot new stove. But before we move ahead with our actual topics of this week, it's important to me that I touch on a couple of things from last week's main topic, which was local pop culture. Mm-hmm. And I know I listened to the show and it's all Philadelphia this and Kansas City that and Philadelphia this again. Remember the Al Alberts show?
There was golf.
It was and golf and whatnot. Mm-hmm. I wanted to very briefly touch on two additional things from my beloved home in central Wisconsin. One is local commercials featuring Green Bay Packers players.
Sure.
And to send out an urgent plea to the world that of all the things that are available on YouTube, there need to be more hilarious commercials in which athletes read off of cue cards.
Because
commercials in which athletes read off of cue cards are hilarious.
Right.
And unfortunately, I'm sort of left to imitate them instead of actually playing them for you. But for example, there was a Sitgo ad featuring Hall of Famer Reggie White, who is literally one of the greatest football players of all time, standing there saying, "We had a disappointing season last year. We didn't go to the Super Bowl, and I didn't get my Sitgo Packers hat." Or Antonio Freeman stiffly holding a box of Red Baron pizza. Oh, it's good times.
Right.
Anyway, more commercials in which athletes read off of cue cards.
Because it's not their strong suit. Playing to their backhand.
Tends to not be the strong suit. The other one is a staple of my youth, which is the High Quiz Bowl. The High School Quiz Bowl, which in my case aired on Channel 7 in, I believe, Wausau, Wisconsin, and unfortunately did not extend to my own Quiz Bowl years, but I do have some footage. My sister was on the High Quiz Bowl team.
Awesome.
This is not of her, but she's sitting stock still and answering little on this Quiz Bowl team. The High Quiz Bowl, in this case, was hosted by a man named Ray Smanda. Ray Smanda is also known as the Menards guy.
Uh-huh.
Does that mean anything to any of you?
It does not.
No.
That is so disappointing. That's going to mean something to a lot of...
Okay.
Hosted a series of hardware store commercials. Save big money at Menards. Anyway.
Please don't ever do that again.
Mike, could you please hit the tape?
Now, your 30-point bonus awaits you. Here's another 10-point toss-up. Discovered in 1834 by Britain's Lord Chancellor Henry Brougham, it has since grown into a seaside resort attracting visitors from around the world. Its international film festival bears... Mosin E. Friedel.
Con?
We can't accept, I'm sorry. You'll be penalized 5 points. Matthews.
Keynes?
Yes, Keynes or Canis would have been correct.
What?
Robbed. Robbed they were.
Take that, Mosin E.
That is brilliant.
So I couldn't let the episode get underway without without including that beloved clip from from my childhood. Anyway, topic the first, the Emmys. Mm. Did we watch them?
Oh, certainly not. I was at the theater, as I often am on Sunday nights.
Glenn Weldon, I have a feeling that you watched the ceremony.
Watched the ceremony, followed the live blog. I did it all because I care about this podcast.
I did not watch. No.
For those, you know, this is a.
I did read the live blog now. That okay. I did.
That counts.
When it was live, the blog.
No, this is why we have YouTube. Mm-hmm.
I think we can sort of dispense with the blow by blow of what we thought of the telecast, right?
Oh,
I mean,
yeah.
Telecasts are always a mixed bag. There's some funny bits, there's some groaners. Personally, the one thing I hated about the telecast was the voiceover announcer guy who would stomp on everybody's moment by, like, delivering some flat groaner of a line as they were getting up on stage. Otherwise, Glenn, what'd you think?
Well, can we agree that as a species, there are certain things that are beyond us, beyond our ken? I would say that awards show banter, the little thing that happens for the 30 seconds when people come out, two people come out, and they have to introduce everything that happens before they say the nominees are, is just something that we cannot achieve. It's
the cold fusion of entertainment.
It is the cold fusion. It is the perpetual motion. It is the faster-than-light travel. It is lead into gold. Mm-hmm. There are basic physical laws of the universe that do not permit it to happen, can't happen, so we should just stop wasting precious energy in its vain pursuit. Now, that will mean taking Bruce Vilanch aside and saying, sir, thank you for your service.
Right.
That's a very funny t-shirt you're wearing.
Give him an award. Give him, like, a lifetime achievement award.
A lifetime achievement t-shirt.
A severance package.
Yep. Put him on an ice floe. And
push him out with the other polar bears.
You know, the whole ceremony really showed to me is that goodwill toward a performer will take you very, very far. Jane Lynch didn't have a lot of good jokes. I'll say it that way. What she did have was brio, was energy.
Sure.
She was game. She was smiling the whole time, and that put a lot of the clunkers over.
People like her.
She didn't sell the jokes. The jokes still didn't work, but she emerged, I think, from it unscathed.
I agree.
I think Linda had a very astute observation, which is that she wasn't quite herself. She was playing a character who was sort of Emmy host, right? But that character was ill-defined and she seemed uncomfortable in it. And it did make it kind of painful to watch. That on top of the fact that the jokes were just terrible.
I'm going to throw this out there. And of course, we did just promise.
Who writes the jokes?
It's usually like somebody's team.
Okay. Who do we blame?
I don't know who wrote. Who
do we pelt?
I don't know
tomatoes?
Whose team. And that's a lot of freelancers and stuff too.
Okay.
But let's just blame Bruce Vilanch.
Yeah, I vote for that.
But at the same time, I want to get to the actual awards themselves because I want to throw out there, and I sort of piggyback on what Glenn said about, like, just that pre-award banter should just be loaded up into a rocket and fired into the sun.
Mm-hmm.
To me, at this point, if you don't do well as the host of an awards show, do people expect you to be awesome?
Yeah. See,
that's the thing. At this point, especially if it's like the Emmys, it's one thing if it's the Oscars and sometimes they're really fantastic. Like, I, for one, I've said this before, I think even on this podcast, I think Steve Martin is a great awards show host.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. And tends to have really good material. But I just sort of feel like you're almost expected for it to fall flat a little
bit. The bar is so low, it's making a divot in the carpet. Tanya, you were mentioning that you think it should have been Neil Patrick Harris. He would have knocked it out of the park. You still feel that way?
I do.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I didn't watch the show, but sure.
Well, I think we all have learned in the last.
He dances and sings.
We have all learned in the last couple of years that he has exactly the combination of chops. He and Hugh Jackman and a couple of other people have exactly the combination of chops to do those silly musical numbers and also sort of keep things moving briskly along.
Yeah, I got to say though, you have to let the field go fallow every so often, and even if it's a charming, fabulous singing and dancing field, you still got to let it, because I think we've seen him do that enough that it's good to have a year before he comes back and does something like that.
Yeah.
To keep with the theme of goodwill toward performers carries the day, when Margot Martindale won for Justified,
I love her.
Everybody loves her. Every thinking American, every right-thinking American loves her. When she got up there and she kind of teetered on the steps going up and people rushed to help her, that made me feel good about Hollywood for the first time in a long time.
First time ever.
Oh, you're not evil. Good.
they didn't kick her and take her trophy.
Push it down the steps.
But then she got up there. She was so sincere. It came from such a good place.
Margot Martindale won Best Supporting Actress for Justified.
As Mags Bennett, yes.
Yes.
Even though she did two things which I detest. She thanked God and she thanked
the Gersh agency.
She did.
She didn't
in that order?
Yes, she didn't just thank her agent and manager. She thanked the Gersh agency by name. She didn't mention the muffin baskets, thank God. But nonetheless, she was still great. It was such a great thing to see.
I have to say, going over sort of a basic list of your winners. Mad Men won Best Drama. Modern Family won Best Comedy. Neither of those, any kind of surprise whatsoever. Kyle Chandler winning
great.
For Friday Night Lights. I've not seen a lot of that show, but I just love that guy.
Yeah.
I just love that guy.
He also
Wasn't
did.
Wasn't he the newspaper fella?
He was, early edition you're thinking of. Yes,
yes,
he was the newspaper fella.
The newspaper fella?
When he got up there, he again had the same sort of, if he gotten up there and did a slick, riff-filled Robert Downey Jr. thing, man, it would have been a rude awakening, because that's just not what that show is. The show is not about Hollywood talking down to middle America. It really feels, so the fact that he got flustered and forgot to thank Connie Britton,
who forgot to win.
Yeah, who forgot to win.
No knock on Juliana Margulies.
Sure.
I like to see new winners on the Emmys. They tend to reward the same people in the same shows a lot. The Daily Show won for the 9th straight year. Jim Parsons won for The Big Bang Theory, which means that Steve Carell is never going to win for The Office.
Yeah, lots of commentary about that.
All years. Yeah. Juliana Margulies won again for The Good Wife.
Have we mentioned Peter Dinklage yet?
I love him.
About that guy.
Love that guy. That guy just has...
He's
wow, does that guy have charisma.
He's on a tear.
Tyrion Lannister.
Julie Bowen won for Modern Family, which was, just won everything it possibly could. Downton Abbey, Mildred Pierce, Kate Winslet. I'm never surprised when giant movie stars win Emmys, because I always feel like they want to have giant movie stars come up on stage.
I will say, I like Mad Men as much as the next guy. I'm glad that the people who won... It's hard to argue with most of the winners. Mm-hmm. I was a little disappointed that Boardwalk Empire didn't get more attention in the acting categories, because I think there are some fine performances on that show.
The best thing that happened to that show, though, was they showed a whole bunch of little clips from it.
Yeah.
And so, maybe that won some people over. But the drama category is incredibly competitive. I mean, it's really hard to argue with any of those shows. It's not like there's a 2.5 Men up for best comedy, where there's just some unbelievably crappy show that knocked Boardwalk Empire out of the nominations. There are a bunch of really good shows. And Melissa McCarthy.
Yeah.
For the
Micah Molly.
A little beauty queen moment.
I like that show.
Where they put a little...
I like her. She has hips.
Well, as I recall, I believe that was like the show I was looking forward to at the beginning of our fall preview last year. And lo and behold, it is now the Emmy-winning Mike and Molly, which means that my prognostication skills... Amazing.
Sure.
Okay. Hey, did you watch her when she was Suki?
On the Gilmore Girls.
Yeah.
You did. I was not a Gilmore Girls guy. I was a Buffy guy.
Oh, okay.
It's not either or.
No, it's one show. You get one show. Okay, so basically our takeaway on these Emmys, telecast is one thing. Telecast, very spotty.
Right. As we have mentioned, award shows are essentially variety shows, and no one knows how to do variety shows. It's just
Except
bad
Neil Patrick Harris.
Variety
Except
television.
Neil Patrick Harris. I didn't think it was excruciating. I thought it certainly had its moments. And going over those... The winners.
Yeah, that's what saved it.
Yep.
There were some enormously, unusually satisfying winners. Your shows that win every year, your Mad Men, your Modern Family, your Daily Show, those are terrific shows.
Oh, yeah.
You can't be like, oh, man, doggone it, Daily Show.
Yeah, you can't complain. But also some really gratifying surprises.
I complain about most awards shows more than I complained about this one.
Yeah, and there's a recap of it on the Monkey See blog.
You can go to npr.org/monkeysee and read some actually informed thoughts.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Linda and Mark Hirsch did a very good job on the live blog.
Hey, speaking of prognostication... I think we're ready for our second segment, which I believe was Glenn Weldon's idea, which means that I think Glenn Weldon should introduce it.
Yeah, I was thinking we could take this fantasy football, which I understand all you heterosexuals really love so much, and adapt it to TV, which everybody loves. It's not just for heterosexuals anymore. and pick a show that you think is in it to win it. It's going the distance. It's cliche number 3.
It's another
other cliche. And, preferably a new show, preferably sight unseen. And
well, I think it should definitely be a new show. I don't think it's... I'm not going to go back and say, CSI!
Yes.
CSI is going to just...
I think that thing's got legs. I don't know exactly what metric we'll use. This will evolve. But
I think we'll figure it out as we go.
Over the next few weeks and months, we'll try to pick a show, champion it, and see how it does in this very competitive environment where shows get canceled all the time.
Oh, so, yeah. 20% of these shows are probably going to make it to the end of the season. So
that's, yeah, like to the end of the season, right, not even be hits. Yeah. Okay, first pick, since Linda Holmes is on the DL, speaking of, you're a big sports guy, Glenn.
I know. She's on the down low, as we all know.
Linda is on the down low.
It's on the injured list.
She wanted everybody to know that her pick for our little fantasy football thing is A Gifted Man on CBS.
It's very cagey. Oh. Very cagey pick.
Yeah.
Cagey.
So, and she's crafty, and she's actually seen a lot of these things.
Yeah.
She's got a little bit of a leg up on us.
I'm down with that, because as we have discussed, that's the show with my favorite movie. My favorite lady on it.
That's a ghost.
That's the one where the guy's wife. He's like a surgeon, and his wife has died, and she handholds him from beyond the grave. And it's the ghost of the wife.
She cuckolds him from beyond the grave.
Handholds him. gives him good advice. Ghost of the wife, if I understand correctly, is played by my girl Jennifer Ely.
All right.
No.
I actually was talking to Linda in the emergency room this weekend while she was picking this show, and she basically calls it another Friday night talking to dead people CBS show. Yep. So it's in that realm. She thinks it's got it'll go far, so that's why she picked it. Very smart on her part.
Yes, indeed. Well, I want Pan Am, which, may not be fair because it probably stands a pretty good chance of surviving the season. But I want it anyway because it's practically October, which means it's practically time for the annual high heel race here in D.C., which means it's practically time for a lot of gay men to be dressing up like Pan Am stewardesses and sprinting down 17th Street in their Easy Spirit pumps.
You've chosen it on that basis.
Well, it looks like it might be a pretty good show.
Okay. I was going to say, does otherwise high heels, that they just go extinct if Pan Am is unsuccessful?
Yeah. I have, attendance might be down at the high heel race.
I'm guessing that there will be high heels at the Playboy Club as well.
I suspect there might be. I am not watching that show, even if you pay me to do this podcast.
But it's probably going to be good, though.
You think?
No.
Like bad good.
Oh, no.
Okay, all right.
Tanya Ballard Brown?
I have a second runner-up, which is Once Upon a Time. The Lost Writers are doing that one, and it sounds perfectly good, terrible, so I'm going to watch that.
So the premise is?
The premise is that these people live in this town, and they think that they are fairy tale folk, and that seems to be the premise, and there you go. And then there'll be a dog.
That's how the pitch works.
And there'll be a dog and a plane and, you know, Desmond and... Okay. Yeah. Second runner-up. First runner-up is Grimm. I loved Grimm's fairy tales as a child, and this guy is supposed to be saving people from scary, bad fairy tale characters. Come on.
So it's kind of a cop show mixed with fantasy, right?
Yeah, and I like mystery solving detective-y stuff. Okay. Mm-hmm. But my first pick, my choice, is Scandal.
Scandal.
With Kerry Washington.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, she's good.
Written by Shonda Rhimes.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I have no idea what this show is about. I watched the trailer, and she's friends of the president, and it makes no sense to me, but she has cute clothes and high heel shoes, and so I'm going to watch that. That's my choice. There you go.
All right, then.
I was a little torn. I was thinking about your Charlie's Angels.
Mm-hmm. Of course you were. I bet you were.
Yeah. Yes. Well, long nights. Three, on a similar note, your Playboy Club, which I just can't envision that sticking around.
I'm telling you, I bet it's going to be good.
Your New Girl, which I believe it is Glenn who calls it. What do you call it, Glenn?
Oh, The Education of Little Twee. Yes.
The New Girl is on my short list too. Glenn Weldon notwithstanding, and never mind that I've seen the pilot, and the pilot is kind of gruesomely bad.
Oof.
It feels to me like it's still a decent chunk of talent in search of some better material, and that's kind of a fun gamble, I think, for a fantasy team.
Yeah, I'm not going with it. No. Not going with it. Yeah, right. Good old Zooey Deschanel.
Yep.
Could have gone with Hader.
Could have gone.
And it's what, 0.7 share? Mm-hmm. But
that show would just make you angry.
That show. I mean, pick something that might survive. Hater is not.
Hater is not going to survive. I am going with Revenge!
Perfect.
Oh, yes.
Perfect.
Just because I like to shout revenge.
Yeah. Well, who doesn't?
But the
please explain to us more.
Yes, the plot synopsis centers on a young woman who is welcomed into a community filled with people. I guess I took a breath in an odd place there. Filled with people who don't know she's only there to exact revenge on those who had destroyed her family.
Okay.
Sounds fun.
It looks sudsy. It looks pulpy and sudsy, and I am picking it largely based on the fact that ABC will not stop advertising it.
Oh, yeah.
I assume that they're going to slot it right in behind Desperate Housewives, right? Because that's basically the arc of a season of Desperate Housewives.
I think they desperately need a new Desperate Housewives. Yeah. I think we can all agree. And so I think this may be it.
I went with, I thought about American Horror Story, which I've heard is just bat poop crazy, and that might be a reason to go with it, but I'm not a big horror guy. I like Up All Night a lot. I saw the pilot, and I really dig it. I was actually going to go, Tanya, with either Once Upon a Time or Grimm, because both of those shows seem to me that they're ripping off a very good comic book series called Fables.
Mm-hmm.
But ultimately, that's the reason I couldn't go with them, because screw them. Fables should be a show. Ultimately, surprising precious few people, I went with Terra Nova, which is a kind of a nerd show. Mm-hmm. Premise, Earth is blah, 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 global warming, time travel, people go back in time to the Cretaceous period, something, 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 dinosaurs.
You just like that because you get to say Cretaceous.
So it's people go back in time, because of course it looks like Billy and the Clonosaurus.
Sure.
I mean, it's got the sort of, the commercials are all like, you've never seen anything like it before. And then there's like the snout of the dinosaur like plunges down toward the person, like shot for shot Jurassic Park.
It's been delayed a lot. It's been rejiggered and retooled endlessly. Those are all warning signs. But here's why I chose it. It is on against, it's on at Mondays at 8 o'clock starting September 26th. It's on against The Sing-Off, Dancing with the Stars, Gossip Girl, How I Met Your Mother. I mean, of the remaining six women and three gay dudes who are not watching those other shows,
right?
Every nerd in the universe, if he's picking anything, is going to be picking Terra Nova. So I don't think it has to do that well to actually, quote-unquote, succeed.
There's just nothing else to watch?
Monday Night Football. I'm just poking a hole in your theory.
That's a dinosaur-sized hole in my theory there. Yikes.
Anyway, but that's only in the fall. If it can stick until
The reason I wouldn't go with this necessarily is because it's a very expensive show. There's a lot of CGI in it. But it has Stephen Lang. I like Stephen Lang. So that's what I'm going with. Terra Nova. My word.
I'm going with Monday Night Football.
Yeah.
I'm not going to watch Terra Nova unless it has obviously clay landscapes. Obviously, clay and or styrofoam landscapes and little rushing blue rivers, because then it will remind me.
Like the Land of the Lost.
Exactly. It will remind me cheerfully of Land of the Lost.
Yep.
Yeah, I made a note about Up All Night, and then of course there's, if you're interested in the sort of oddly futuristic sort of thing, there's a lot of talk about Person of Interest. Not going to be my pick, but I'm going to stick with Pan Am. But Person of Interest is a kind of Minority Report style show, starring Jim Caviezel, however you say his name.
Caviezel.
Yeah, Caviezel. Thank you.
Yeah, I mean, I thought about Up All Night also, but I felt like because it is already premiered, it's already kind of seems like it's got a shot. I felt almost like it was a little bit of cheating. And all right, so good picks all. So
we'll see.
So
remains to be seen.
Pan Am was yours.
Terra Nova.
Revenge.
Scandal.
And Linda's got a gifted man. Ideally, we would have sort of the technology to do like spreadsheets and points and whatever, and actually do a game on Facebook. But just throw out your pick, we'll remember that you picked it.
Are there brackets involved in fantasy football? This is
no,
I don't know this thing.
That's the NCAA tournament in basketball. Okay. But we'll figure it out. It's going to be informal. I think we'll be able to decide who among us, me, is the is the winner. But if you can all of you listening, go to facebook.com/PCHH. Let us know what your fall pick is. But then I'm going to expect you to watch it and report on how you did. And that brings us to our final segment every single week, which is What is Making Us Happy? Glenn Weldon.
I wrote about this for the NPR book section. I reviewed it. It's a new graphic novel coming out today, Tuesday, called Habibi by Greg Thompson. It is a 600-page graphic novel. It is by a guy who wrote a book, a graphic novel back in 2003 called Blankets, which people like me give to people who don't like comic books to say, look at what the comic book form can do. Look at the tremendous potential it has to do something besides superheroes. It is just a beautiful object, but on top of that, it's also a deep, richly immersive, multifaceted experience that is one of these books that feels, the way I put it in the review is, when you're finished with the book, it doesn't feel like the book is done with you. It's not finished with you. It's something you're going to come back to again and again. It is hugely ambitious, and it's just gorgeous. I wrote the review. I sent it off to my editor at NPR, and I said to him in the email, you know, I think, try to give this some good play on the homepage, because, I mean, this, to me, feels like the most important graphic novel since a book that came out a while ago called Jimmy Corrigan. Okay. And he, being a good editor, came right back to me and said, well, why didn't you say that in the review? And I went back and forth on this, and I'd like to talk about this at some point, not today, but just about this question. I thought about it for a long time, and my answer to him was basically that to say something like that feels a little too blurby, right, a little too EW. Anything, it could be turned too easily into marketing copy, and that's not why I'm reviewing the book. I'm reviewing the book to try to get people to understand that I feel that way about the book, you know, to get them to understand and explain why, on its merits, why I think it's such an important book. But, man...
But do you think if you said that it would encourage people to buy it? I mean, is it a bad thing?
Well, this is a good question.
It's not your primary purpose. I can say, you know, from my own experiences, that's not why you do that. But at the same time, if you feel that way, you always want to call reviews as you see them.
Yeah, to me, like something, it felt important to me because it spoke to me in a way. So I don't feel like I can kind of come out there and say something as boldly as
right.
that. I also think I'm blessed at NPR to be given a little bit more room to write about these things than many other places get. So I would rather spend that time constructing an argument as opposed to just constructing
spewing
a log line.
Right, sure.
So I go back and forth on this. I'll be curious to hear what you guys, because we're all critics, we're all writers here, so it's something I want to maybe explore in some future podcast.
As an editor, I will say that if the line comes naturally, then I think it's fine. I think if you're trying to craft something that's going to get your name on a cover, that's not a good thing.
As it happened in this particular review, if I inserted it, it would only go in a place which would break up a thought that happened at the end of one paragraph or the beginning of another, so I decided to scrap it. But the take-home message here, Habibi, it's an amazing book by Craig Thompson. Pick it up.
All right.
Great.
Awesome.
Huh. Tanya Ballard Brown, what is making you happy this week?
Two things.
First, you're not going to tell us what they are.
That's right.
Because you know I like to make lists. The first is Castle is back. I love Castle.
Good show.
Okay.
Fun show.
You know, Nathan Fillion really is ruggedly handsome. He really is. I love him. I follow him on Twitter. He never replies to me. Hopefully he'll hear this and understand that I'm trying to connect with you, man.
See, I don't know if this motivation is...
Do I hear you cheating on Idris Elba?
Wait.
Right here on this
next
podcast?
Next on my list is Luther. Luther is coming back next week. And my HD cable is out, so I can't get my BBC America. So they got to come out Saturday and fix it, because if I can't get out...
I hope they understand. I hope they understand the seriousness of this problem.
Okay.
You need to see every pore on Idris Elba's
face. I have
tried.
You know what? And Idris is going to be at NPR West this week, and I tried to get them to fly me out there. No one hears me. I have work out there. It's important.
Hear my plea.
So those two things have made me really happy, but I'd be so much happier if I could go touch Idris. He wants to be in my secret garden. Didn't y'all see the video?
No.
I like the fact that both of the things that are making you happy really are wants. I want Nathan Fillion to tweet me back.
Actually, I need him to come here and let's talk about Firefly and Serenity.
Oh, yes.
That's what he should do. That is what you should do, Nathan Fillion.
I got news for you, Tanya. He's not listening to this.
He's really. He will when I tweet it to him.
Oh, my God.
Here, I tweet Idris, too. Idris tweeted me back once.
Yes, well, you've said that on this very podcast.
I know, but I keep him because one day.
I feel like you're now saying this just to validate yourself in your own mind.
I'm being a Stan stalker fan. Yes, okay.
All right. Trey Graham, what is making you happy?
Well, it's a little late, but it transpires that September is Merchant Ivory Month on TCM.
Okay.
And, you know, I should have mentioned this earlier so that you could catch it all, but come on, people. The Bostonians, Morris, Howard's End, A Room with a View. Just
prim women in hats.
Just prim women in hats.
I like that, with a little bit of ankle and a petticoat.
You know, anxious, repressed people. We have discussed...
Daffy ants!
We've discussed my passion for this kind of thing.
Dottie, you know, Dowagers.
Dottie Dowagers. You know, Vanessa Redgrave looking woeful. you know, it's just... Oh, it's all so beautiful. Oh. It's all so pretty. You could just lie there... with a glass of something very expensive.
Yes, tetragram.
You base your enjoyment of the liquid on how expensive it is?
Yes.
Tetragram every month is Merchant Diary month.
Well, you know, the other thing is it's TCM, so they don't cut them. They don't, TCM, you know, there are no commercial breaks.
TCM
they, the prints
the
look great.
Treasure.
It's just, ah. Plus, you get the little contextual introductions, so you don't have to do your homework on IMDb.
God forbid you spend 4 seconds.
Exactly.
But no, TCM is just a wonderful, wonderful way to lose many, many hours.
Howard's End, people.
Howard's End. Merchant Ivory Month.
If nothing else, watch Howard's End.
Have you ever been to the TCM Festival?
No.
Movie Festival? Okay.
Explain it. Have you been?
No, I want to go. Hmm. And this year I was too late in remembering that they have it, so I put a note to myself on my calendar so I can remember it enough time to try to go next year.
So what is making me happy? Well... it is a very happy postscript to a lamentation that I gave on this very podcast, but 2 weeks ago, when I said that what I wanted to make me happy that week was I was trying to acquire a Zaxxon machine for my house. Now, for anyone under the, like, the CATSIF is like the cutoff point, like 29, 30, of anybody having any idea what Zaxxon is, which is just pains me to no end. But basically, I bought about a 400-pound, 30-year-old arcade machine that plays a game called Zaxxon, which is in very crude, three-dimensional, you know, zip, zap, 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 as you rise and fall and zap various things. I managed, with the aid of several other people, to get it up my front steps, but I did acquire Zaxxon. She is mine.
This is awesome. Does she have a name?
Zaxxon.
No.
I was thinking
that's
about
like
sending...
saying that I have an Impala whose name is Impala.
No, I feel like I wanted to get like mail, you know, like do a change of address form with the post office, mm-hmm. which is like Stephen and Zaxxon Thompson.
Oh my.
So, to do, you know, sort of holiday photos of me and the kids standing in front of Zaxxon.
Mm-hmm. Oh, man.
I have to
this
say...
it sounds like Lars and the...
Lars and the Real Girl.
Yeah.
A little disturbingly like Lars and the Real Girl. I would just like to circle back to the fact that you took a day off from this podcast to have your stove delivered.
Right.
But you're fool enough to try to lug a Zaxxon machine
that
up
was,
the steps.
That was actually why I decided to have the stove delivered, was because that very morning I had... just I can't believe that Linda Holmes destroyed her ankle taking a mere step, whereas I did not hurt myself at one point on my back on the concrete front steps of my house with a 400-pound arcade machine on top of me.
She has very dainty ladylike ankles there. She's a lady.
That's probably mm-hmm. it, yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And here I was going to praise you for your diligence in ensuring that your children are being fed.
Zaxxon doesn't cook. All right.
I don't know where you're going with that.
I don't know where I'm going with that either. So anyway, what is making me happy this week? Zaxxon, she's finally mine. It's just
awesome.
It's just one of the best things that's ever happened to me.
Call it Miss Zaxxon.
Oh, it's Mrs. Oh, and she's taken.
Oh, God. Oh,
no.
So no. That brings us to the end.
Does it?
It does. To
the, all the way.
All the way to the end of another episode of Pop Culture Happy Hour. Linda Holmes, thankfully, will hobble in here next week to restore her rightful place at the head.
To restore some discipline.
To restore some sanity to this this podcast. Want to thank all of you for being here another week.
I wouldn't miss it.
You can follow all of us on Twitter. You can follow Linda Holmes, who is not here, and her blog at NPR Monkey C. You can follow Trey Graham at Trey with an E and Graham like the cracker. You can follow Mr. Glenn Weldon at GH Weldon. You can follow Tanya Ballard Brown at T-double-B. That's T-D-O-U-B-L-E-B. You can follow me, your thankfully temporary host, at I Dislike Steven. That's spelled S-T-E-P-H-E-N. You can follow our esteemed producer, Mike Katziff, at Mike Katziff. That's K-A-T-Z-I-F. Mike's band, Hello Come In, provides our in-and-out music that you are theoretically chair dancing to right now. You can join our happy little community of Pop Culture Happy Hour people at facebook.com/PCHH. Thank you all for being here.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you.
And thank you all for listening.